Now we turn to another prominent woman in leadership, Jennifer Shipley. While the U.S. is still waiting for its first female head of state, Shipley became the first woman to become Prime Minister of New Zealand back in 1997. That post came after more than a decade climbing through the ranks of that nation's political leadership as a member of parliament and as a minister of social welfare and health. Shipley remained Prime Minister until 1999. She's now the co-chair of the Shared Societies Project of the Club de Madrid. That's an international organization devoted to spreading democratic values around the world. But when we caught up with Jennifer Shipley during the closing of an event at the Clinton Global Initiative last month, she said she didn't always envision herself as a leader.
I didn't think that I would be a Prime Minister, but I was raised in a family where my sisters and I were expected to form opinions and then take action on those. As I grew older, I realized that the political process was a great vehicle to facilitate change and to shape the future.
Did you watch last year's presidential election?
Oh, closely. Very closely.
Curious to know, what was your reaction to Secretary of State, then Senator Hillary Clinton, the senator from New York, who was, and I don't want to say the first serious candidate, female candidate to run for president, because the fact is the women who ran before were serious. So I'm just curious about watching Hillary Clinton, watching former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, and all the conversations around their candidacies. Any impressions?
Well, look, I think Senator Clinton's a brilliant politician, and the time was almost right. There will be a time in the United States where a woman will lead this country, and women in decision-making roles start making a profound impact, which is one of the reasons why diversity matters so much.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the Shared Societies Project? What are you up to?
It's interesting that as former leaders, when we were speaking to current leaders, there were many marvelous discussions, but one of the reoccurring ones when we talked to leaders about what concerned them most today as they bore the responsibility of shaping the future of their nations, it was this issue of the complexity of their societies and the issues of difference of race, difference of religion, difference of culture, difference of economic status, that perplexed them and frustrated them. And they kept saying, in your experience, or from your knowledge, or in all the things you've seen around the world, are there best practices that we should be considering rather than our having to reinvent things all the time? And the Shared Societies Project was born out of a desire to, through our knowledge and experience, reach out and get great examples and put them together so that existing leaders can then be enabled as they grapple with these questions and try and get some best practice out of a toolbox of great ideas that they can then implement in their countries.
And speaking of a toolbox of ideas that perhaps we could implement, you are no doubt aware that we're currently, the political leadership, and in fact the country, is engaged in a big debate about how to address health care in this country. Surprisingly to some, not to others, kind of a racial element has emerged to this. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know, given New Zealand has its own racial history or ethnic history, particularly pertaining to the
indigenous people.
And so I just like to ask if there are any insights that you feel comfortable sharing about the experience of New Zealand in addressing this question
of race. Look, it's very easy to get a political headline and often appeal to the majority of voters as we reflect their anxieties and views. But the longer you are in leadership roles, the more you realize that if people are left behind or left out, it's not only a justice question. Often they become angry and disenfranchised. And so the interests of the minority is also the interest of the majority, because the majority's interest becomes undermined if you have angry people who are then drawn to actions that somehow or other feel as if they're antisocial. In New Zealand, we had an indigenous people who, over many, many years, we didn't honour commitments that were made at the time that the people colonised New Zealand, basically. And these became matters of deep grievance and hurt. And successive governments sort of ran the argument, if you were just more like us and we all acted as if we were both the same and equal, the problem would go away. Well, to cut 100 years of history short, that was not true. And today we've now got Maori in our parliament in a greater than average number of people are there. We've got Maori through every hierarchy of professional development.
Do you think that a member of New Zealand's Maori could become head of state there, head of government there?
Oh, unquestionably. It is only a matter of time that this will be achieved.
Does that make what you want to call European heritage majority feel anxious in some way, to think that they're losing ground?
I think 30 years ago, if you asked that question, a very large number of people would say yes. If you asked that question today, you would find a very small minority who would say yes. But the new New Zealand, you know, we're 165 years old in terms of our founding documents, so we're young in relative terms, although not unlike the United States. But today, New Zealand realises that as we think about our old world, the values we bought as we settled, and the older world of our indigenous people, it's creating a new culture of richness where we are confident in who we are. Diversity doesn't need to be a disadvantage, or it's not a matter of them or us. It can be amongst the two of us. It can make a sort of one and one makes three type of argument.
Jennifer Shipley is the former Prime Minister of New Zealand. She's currently project co-chair for the international advocacy group, the Club de Madrid. We caught up with her at the offices of the Clinton Global Initiative in New York. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's my pleasure.
Tell Me More, the conversation never ends, and we'd like to know who you look to for inspiration, a public figure, a teacher, someone in the office, a relative, and does gender matter? Do you need your role models to look like you? Please send us your comments on our website at npr.org or call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522. Please remember to leave us your name and tell us where you're from.